Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Aren't you glad you serve a God that nothing's impossible for?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord has done some amazing things in my life when I look back, and it's just crazy how He moved and orchestrated things and brought things to pass. Amen. And every one of us can look at our lives and see areas where it only could be God that did it. Amen. So praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3. Last week we began looking at the subject of expecting more in 2024. We looked at being a better you in 2024. To expect better things in our lives. Amen. Not to settle. Not to settle in and think we've got it all together. Not to settle in and think that there's nothing more. Nothing more that the Lord has for you to do. Nothing more that you can do. No, we talked about looking at things and just reflecting upon things and believing that God can do things and you can change things. And there's areas in each of our lives that we can look at and we can improve and be better. Amen?
Amen.
We're to keep pressing forward. Where we set our expectations is a level that we will either rise or sink to. We need to set our expectations higher. Amen? If there's something that you're believing God for, something that may look impossible, you were encouraged this morning singing about the God of the impossible. Amen?
Yeah.
Say, well, there's something in my life that I don't know how I can change it. Well, you can't, but with God's help and Him working in you, you can.
Yes.
Amen? You can achieve that dream. You can achieve that desire. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have a high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We as believers are called to a higher standard.
Yes. Amen.
We're called not to live as the world lives. Not to think how the world thinks. We're not to try and make changes in our lives as the world attempts to make changes. Because a lot of those New Year's resolutions that people make end in failure and they end in disappointment. People don't accomplish them. Many of us sitting here have set goals in the past that we never attained, right? But we're going to do better this year. Say that, I'm going to do better this year. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. We're going to do better. Because we aren't doing it in our own strength. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. This was one of our key scriptures also last week for this little mini series here. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. And I'm reading from the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, now to Him by His power within us, who is able to do far more than we ever dare to ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. We can make those changes in our life because of the Holy Spirit who resides within us. We can do it through His power, His ability. He's the one who leads us and guides us and reveals things to us. He's the one who gives us those good ideas. He's the one who says, hey, you think about making these changes. He's the one who's telling you to make those positive changes, to improve some area of our life that bring us closer to our Heavenly Father, and it'll bring more peace. Bring more joy into our lives. Maybe it's just about adjusting our schedule, adjusting our lifestyle. Maybe we're just too busy. We're trying to cram too much into 2 hours of the day. Amen? Instead of saying, you know what, I'm never going to accomplish all those things. Show me, Lord, how I can rearrange my schedule. Show me some things that I need to change. This morning, I want to continue down the path of talking about setting our expectations higher. I want us to look at expecting more, setting the bar higher in the area of sharing our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? How many of us here want to be a more effective witness for Jesus this year? Amen? I do. Just because I'm the pastor don't mean that I can't get better at sharing Jesus with people. Amen? How can we be better at sharing our faith in 2024? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Hopefully you're still there in Ephesians. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, this is a New American Standard, says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We're to be imitators of God. Imitators of Jesus. As we look at the life and the ministry of Jesus found in the Gospels, we can see what things that he did that we can do. Amen? See what we can take and follow as a model. Because the thing is, many people, despite sitting in church and Sunday school classes, participating in life groups and in home groups and small groups, vast majority of people never share their faith in Jesus Christ. I believe the biggest reason is we don't have the proper perspective when it comes to sharing our faith. Our witnessing and sharing our faith isn't done as a dreary duty. We're not trying to get points. Amen? We're not on that system. Or we try to ease our conscience or try to point out to somebody how bad they are or how wrong they are. Our motivation in sharing our faith in Jesus Christ should be what motivated Jesus. Amen? He's to be our example. So whatever motivated Jesus, if we're to imitate him, we should see what motivated him and to minister to people. And turn to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at three scriptures here in Matthew that paint a picture of what motivated Jesus. We can look at his life. And then as we talked about last week, honestly evaluate where we are at currently as it pertains to being a witness for Christ. And as I shared last week, as we make these assessments, it's not with the idea of beating ourselves up, telling us how bad we are at it. No, it's to be done with the idea, look, I may not share my faith like I want to, but I'm going to be better this year. You know what? If you didn't share your faith with anybody last year, if you do just one person this year, you're better.
Yes.
Amen? You don't have to make a goal. I'm going to share my faith every day with somebody. I'm going to do that. Because you know what? You're not going to do it. Just set modest goals. Then I'm going to live my life out in front of people. I'm going to live this Christian faith in front of people. And I'm going to share my faith with somebody. Maybe you shared it with 5 people last year. Make it your goal to do 6 this year. Amen? Be better. That's the whole goal of this series, is we want to be better. We may not be great at something. We may not be great at sharing our faith. There are people that they are soul winners. I mean, it just flows out of them. They witness to everybody they come in contact with. And some of us, we're not like that. Amen? So as we look at Jesus, here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, the New Living Translation reads, Jesus traveled through all the towns and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Turn on over a few pages to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Matthew 14, 14. New Living Translation also reads, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. And turn on over one more chapter to Matthew 15, 32. The New Living Translation reads, Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way. The biggest thing that we see that moved Jesus was compassion. Amen? He says there in Matthew 9 that he had compassion because they were confused and they were helpless. You look around society today, there are all kinds of confused people. Amen? There's people that are helpless. There's people that are hopeless. There's people that they're just wandering around aimlessly. They have no purpose in their life. They have no direction in their life. They're just trying whatever they can, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever it is they get into, to try to fill that void, to try to ease the pain, to try to dull whatever lifestyle they're doing. Amen. There's all kinds of people. There's all kinds of people here in Bowersville, Jamestown, Jeffersonville, Wilmington. Everywhere around here is filled with people that are confused, and they're hopeless, and they're helpless. There's people that are sick, people that are depressed. Amen? There's people that are hungry. Everywhere, Jesus met every need that those people had because he had compassion on them. We may be someone who does not feel empathy for people as much as others. There are some people that they're just very empathetic to the plight of others. Can I just say that I'm not one of them? I'm just being honest. Amen? I'm much more empathetic than I used to be before I got saved. It's the truth. We're just being honest. Right? None of us have it all together. So we are better. I'm much better than I used to be. Empathetic to the plight of people. Much better about sharing that with people. Trying to help people out. Not as good as I can be, though. I want to be better. How can we develop and strengthen the compassion for the lost, the hurting, and the confused? We can't do it in our own strength, but the Lord has already helped us. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Everybody doing okay this morning?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for heat.
Yes.
Amen. Beautiful winter morning outside, but it's nice and toasty in here. Ezekiel 36, 26. The Lord says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, He takes that old selfish, stony heart out and He gives you a new heart that is enabled to love people better than you've ever loved anybody before. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. He's given us a new heart. As I've shared many times before I got saved, I was one of the most selfish people you could ever meet. It was about me, myself, and I. Lord, give me a new heart. Amen? Change me. Change my heart. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in you and reside in you, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not only does He give you a new heart, He pours the love of God into that heart. Then it's up to us then to release that love to other people. That word shed is the word ekeo in the Greek. It means to pour forth, to bestow, to gush out. We can't use the excuse that I'm just not a compassionate person. Right? Because God has not only given us a new heart, but He's poured His love into that heart and says, there you go. Be different. Love people as I love people. Amen? And then He doesn't just do that only. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He not only does that, equips us, but then He will teach us to love other people. The God kind of love is all about loving people right where they're at. It's not based on performance or whether we feel like they deserve our compassion or not. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 says, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God Himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. God will teach you how to love other people. Amen? Praise God. He does that through the example of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know how to just love somebody. These people that I work with, whew. Amen. I don't just, it's not just love. It's not trying just not to choke them, right? Putting your hand suddenly on somebody. Just jerk the slack out of them. We just can't do that, right? Jesus shows us how to love people. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Verse 16 and 17, the New Living Translation says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and He knows everything. So we have to look how Jesus dealt with people, how Jesus loved people. Get out past of our selfish ways. Get out past of our judgmental attitudes toward people and just love people as they are. Amen? Because realize that there, some people are bound by things. Some people are hurting. They act that the way that they do because of the pain that's in their life. Amen? We've got to look past those things and love on people. It's not always easy. The more we meditate upon how much God loves us despite our failures and shortcomings, the more we will come to love others. Jesus shared with the disciples that he had experienced the love of the Father, which prompted him to love other people. That's in John 15:9. He said, I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. If we've experienced the love of the Father and his goodness in our lives, how can we not be motivated to want to share that with other people? As we read the word, we spend time in prayer and we come together and worship, or we worship on our own, we can deepen our experience and understanding of the love of God. And as we do that, it will increase our motivation to share the love that we have experienced ourselves, to share it with other people. There is freedom in understanding how much your Heavenly Father loves you. I believe the reason a lot of people don't share or demonstrate the love of God to others is because they don't have it settled in their own hearts. As we talked this morning, we can't comprehend the power of God in life groups, right? We also can't comprehend the love of God. Because we put everything in context. We base everything that we think about God, we bring it from our own experiences. And if we haven't experienced love, true love, we haven't experienced unconditional love. And even then, if we have, we still can't grasp the depth that God has in his love for us. Because we still question. We still try to work it out in our own minds. We still struggle with how could God love me? Right? Knowing what we're like, knowing how we act, knowing what we think sometimes, those thoughts that pop, how can God love me? And that's right where the enemy wants to keep you. But we got to get past that. We've got to just say, you know what? God loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me. God loved you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. And if you were the only person on the earth, Jesus still would have done it for you. Think about that. Well, God so loved the world, we always think he loved somebody else. We've got to get it in our own self that God loves us. God loves you. He loves me. Amen? We want to be a better witness this year. Get it settled in your heart and your mind that God loves you. Jesus knew with absolute certainty that his Heavenly Father loved him. You come to see that the disciples and the apostles in the early church became absolutely convinced that their Heavenly Father loved them. We need to become absolutely convinced that our Heavenly Father loves us and be certain of that also. It will change our attitude. Amen? We have to develop the mentality that this Christian life we are experiencing isn't to be lived out in isolation. We are to share the love of God with everybody we come in contact with. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4:12, "If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." If we want to please the Father and demonstrate to others around us the difference His love has made in our lives, we need to love other people. As I said earlier, it's not always going to be easy. It may not be easy to love somebody you work with. Not easy to love somebody you live with. Amen? Somebody you go to church with. You ever had difficulty loving people like that? Yeah. To really allow the unconditional love that God has for us to flow through us to others, it's going to take some changes in attitudes, changes in expectations. Expect things to change when you demonstrate the love of God to people. You can't be bound and stuck in the past. You can't be bound by past rejection, by frustrations, a judgmental attitude that you've developed toward somebody that you didn't feel that they deserve your unconditional love. We've got to change that. Got to change that attitude. Amen? The early church looked at Jesus and found the motivation necessary to grow as they did, and we can do the same thing today. The key to developing and strengthening the proper motivation is let the Word of God have the intended effect on us. Amen? You got to let it change your heart. You got to let the Word get in you. If we're not daily reading and studying and meditating upon the Word, we're never going to stay motivated to share the gospel with other people. To love people, you have to get to know them. Jesus was never afraid or too busy to get involved in people's lives. So, look at that. We got to love people. Another thing in which we can improve our witness and be better at sharing the good news of the gospel with people is to expect the Holy Spirit to direct your path. I thought it was very interesting, our discussion this morning. He'll direct your path to people who are open to hear the message. People who need to hear the message. Look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts. There are several examples in the book of Acts where God worked in some way to create the opportunity for someone to hear the gospel. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. 8:26 says, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. And when Philip had ran up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, Well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this, He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Angel comes to Philip and says, you need to go this way. It's a desert road. What are you doing, Lord? Why are you sending me down a desert road? You need to go over here. Amen. You go into Walmart and you're going to the grocery section, and the Lord says, I want you to go over here. Amen. It's as simple as that. It says the Spirit of the Lord said he was going down the road. The Ethiopian eunuch is in the chariot, and then the Spirit of God says, you need to go over there. The Lord will arrange these meetings. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon thy name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 10. The Lord saw to it that the Ethiopian eunuch who had questions had someone come to answer those questions. He seen to it that the Apostle Paul had someone come and not only confirm that it was the Lord Jesus that met him on the way. Amen. We don't see that accounted, but he said that to Paul when he got there. That the Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road. He sent me here. Here in Acts chapter 10 says, now there in verse 1, there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. And he gave many alms to the Jewish people, and he prayed to God continually. And about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him. And he said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze upon him, being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with a certain tanner named Simon whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And after he explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. And if you go down and you read the rest of the story in chapter 10, if you get to verse 31, Peter shows up there because the Lord sent him. He says, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send to, therefore, to Joppa, invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea, and so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come, and now then we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about and doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. And he goes on and he continues, and it says, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message, and all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? God will ordain things to happen. Amen? These events that we read about, and there's others in the book of Acts, were part of the spread of the early church all over the Middle East and parts of Europe and Asia. But I believe they illustrate a principle that's just as valid for us today. When there are people who are seeking after God with all their hearts, seeking for answers, God will open doors to give those who are seeking the truth an opportunity to be reached by those who are prepared to do the sharing and are expecting to be used. Amen? Divine appointments. It's not a coincidence, and it's not luck. Amen? I believe if there's someone who is seeking and asking and knocking and seeking after the truth, the Lord will see to it that someone who is equipped to share the good news will cross their path. It might be a change of jobs. It might be a new coworker comes in. It might be a change of schools. It might be a change of neighborhoods. It might be a trip to Walmart or to Kroger or stopping at the gas station. But somewhere along the line, if that people are seeking after God, God is going to bring someone across their path to share the good news of Jesus with them. Amen? And you just might be the laborer that someone has been praying for to cross and enter that person's life. The scriptures speak of the Lord opening doors, and his servants who are ready to serve him go through those open doors and minister to people. Have you ever come across somebody that they're asking questions? A co-worker, a new co-worker maybe? And the door is just suddenly open to you to share the gospel with them, to share the truth, to share how much that God loves them. We've got to be sensitive to that. We want to be better at that. Amen? We don't need our phone to text us and say, Will, you need to share with these people. Right? But that's what we expect sometimes. We just need to be sensitive to the fact we don't have to have an aha moment and say, oh, well, am I supposed to talk to these people, Lord? Well, duh. The Lord brought you across their path. Right? He arranged that meeting, that divine appointment. So that you, as someone who knows the gospel, someone who knows the word, you can share that with them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Three more scriptures. And then I'll attempt to close. No, we'll close here. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. So, but the Apostle Paul says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." 1 Corinthians 16. A great door, an open door. The Lord is going to open those doors for us if we expect it. Amen? We just can't be going along with our heads in the clouds and not expecting to be used by God. Amen? Expect things. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, furthermore, verse 12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me of the Lord." The Lord will open those doors for you to share the gospel. Amen? And finally, Revelation 3. Revelation 3, 7 through 8. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name." We need to change our expectations. Quit thinking that no one wants to hear what you have to say. I'm going to say that again. Quit thinking that no one wants to hear what you have to say.
Amen.
When it comes to sharing the gospel. Amen? All you have to do is just share with them about how much God loves them. How much God cares for them. You don't have to have all your theology down and know all your scriptures by heart. It helps if you know a few. But you will be surprised. If you've got the word in you, when you start witnessing and sharing the goodness of God and the love of God with somebody, it'll start coming out of you. Amen? You ever shared with somebody and you got done, you walk away and you're like, wow, where did that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. But we have to expect things to happen. Amen? Change your expectation is, I know that somebody's out there. Right? I know that somebody. Get up in the morning, okay, Lord, who is it today? Who's going to be it today, Lord? We can smile, we can laugh, but that's the expectation that we need to start having. We want to be used by God. We want to change some things. We need to have that expectation. Okay, God, who is it today that you're going to bring across my path that I'm going to be able to share your goodness with? I'm going to be able to share your love with. I'm expecting God to use me by opening doors. Send me to the places where someone is waiting. Set our expectations high that God's going to use me. God, I'm an imperfect vessel. I'm not there yet, but I'm trying, and I believe you're going to use me. You're going to use what I know. You're going to use what's in me. You're going to use my experiences. You're going to use the testimony that I have of the goodness in my life that I'm going to be able to share with somebody else. And expect those people to come across your path. Start speaking that. Lord, I just want to be used. If we desire to be used by the Lord and receive those divine appointments, then we need to start praying that over ourselves. Praying that. Expect that prayer to be the catalyst that starts the process in motion that those divine appointments are coming. Just pray, Lord, lead me to that person today that you want me to share the gospel with. It can just be that simple. Doors will open and opportunities will present themselves for us to be used by God. To share the love of God with people, to pray for them, to teach them, to encourage them, help them in any way that we can. In 2024, let's expect that the Lord will send us to those people that are seeking and asking and even praying for answers in their life. Amen. They're praying to a God. You need to lead them to the God. Amen. This is the Apostle Paul in Athens when he said, you're all very religious. You even have a tomb to the praying to the unknown God. And I'm here to tell you all about him. Amen. We need to have that same attitude. Expect the Lord to move. If you've tried to witness in the past and felt like you didn't accomplish anything, forget about it. Amen. As we said last week in Philippians, forgetting those things which lie behind. Amen. Say, I've got a new, fresh approach now. I'm motivated. It's a new year. I'm going to do better this year, right? I'm going to make it my goal to share with one more person this year than I shared with last year. Amen? Put discouragement behind us. Press on to that high calling and expect God to use you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. Amen? Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share with those we come in contact with. Share with them your goodness and your grace. Your forgiveness, Lord, your peace. Whatever those people that we come in contact with need, Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides everything. Every answer that someone is looking for, Father. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. And we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.